when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Okay, what was your first email address?
Okay, let's keep... Oh, God. It's
You want to hear mine?
Yes.
Mystique_stars3001@yahoo.com.
3001?
Yeah, because I was super extra and thought I was being special.
Yes. All right, mine was... DaBomb8068.
D-A? Yes!
Little D-A.
Yes! That is excellent.
90s kids.
Welcome to Joblogs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Hi, I'm Joy Marie.
And I'm Courtney.
And you're listening to Joblogs. All right. So it has been a crazy month for me. I don't know about you, but
yeah.
I've been traveling a lot for work. I have a couple more trips coming up. I'm a maid of honor in a wedding this week. Actually, it'll be last week by the time this airs. Yes. In the Dominican Republic. So I'm excited about that. Nice. But yeah, I mean, what's been going on with you?
I'm just keeping busy. Like, I just got here from another event on a weekend, work event.
Sounds like you feel a type of way about that.
No, I am. I'm grateful for my opportunities.
Yes. I do want to say thank you, though, to everyone who left feedback, who continues to leave feedback on the website, on our social media handles. Yeah. The love is real. And honestly, like, even last night prepping for the studio session, I always have these moments of, like, doubt where I'm like, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And is this, like, silly? And who's even listening? And is it justifying, like, all of this work and energy that we take out of our weeks to come into the studio? Is it worth it? And you guys in your comments make all of that go away.
Yeah,
so thank
brighten
you.
Brighten up our Mondays.
Yes. So love. Thank you so much for constantly showing love. Today's episode is going to be really exciting. We're talking to Devin Williams, who is a former NBA Washington Wizards dancer.
Nice.
Exciting. Also an entrepreneur, an engineer. So it's a really dynamic conversation about your personal brand, about beauty in the workplace, and balance as well.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
Great things in store.
Yep. So we're going to dive right in.
Let's do it. All right. Now it's time for rants, raves, and reviews. And we're going to spotlight things that are making us our lives better, worse, and just kind of add value to your situation. So who's going first?
I suppose I could go.
Okay.
So this week I am ranting.
Oh, boy.
And I am ranting about the delivery people in my neighborhood.
Brooklyn.
Yes, in Brooklyn. So the other day I was coming back from one of the business trips I was talking about. So I was coming back from Atlanta. I was tired. I was famished. It was like 8 something, probably like 8:45.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted something to eat. So I got on Seamless and I started placing an order in my cart. And I had like my two items. I wanted my Vietnamese pho or pho, however you say it. This is just a traditional like soup.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted my bubble tea. And that's all I wanted.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask my roommate if she wanted food too. So I went to the restroom, put my phone down, and was going to, you know, connect with her to place the order. Little did I know or realize that it was already 9:00 and the place that I was ordering from closed at 9.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so devastated because I had been dreaming about this bubble tea the whole cab ride from the airport home. Okay. So it's after 9. It's probably 9:02. I'm like, no, but let me just, you know, remembering your rant from last week, I was like, let me call the place and see if, you know, they'll work with me.
They'll be accommodating.
Accommodating, because like, I'm a customer and this meal means everything to me right now. And, you know, let's just see what happens. So I pick up the phone and I call. And unfortunately, the person that picks up the line is like, oh, I'm sorry. you know, mm-hmm. I can't, you know, so sorry, we closed at 9. But then she says the delivery guy left already for the night. I'm like, but it's 9:02.
Yeah.
And you closed at 9, even on Seamless. So how's he gone already? Like, what if you got to order at 8:58, which you would have gotten if I would have pressed submit 2 minutes earlier, right? Like, did he leave already? Uh-huh. So I was a little skeptical, but I hang up. So I hang up, and when I hang up, my phone reverts back to the Seamless app.
Okay.
And I see my meal sitting in the cart still. So I get the genius idea to hit submit anyway.
Okay.
And just, you know, see what happens.
So
I hit submit.
Here come.
And sure enough, the delivery guy was there an hour later with my food. So the rant is,
she lying.
Don't, why you always lying? Why you always lying? Like, don't, listen. As a brand or a business, do not lie to your customers.
Right.
Honesty is the best policy, because you lose brand credibility when you lie or are dishonest. And in this day and age of social media, I could hop on Yelp and talk about, you know, your ethics or integrity or whatever the case is. And it's all intrinsically tied to one another. So as a brand, just don't lie. Tell the truth. Be honest. You know, what's it worth to you, losing a customer or, you know, having bad customer sentiment, or just being honest? She could have easily just have said, we close at 9. We need to shut down. We don't, you know, we can't take any additional orders for the night. And I would have had to accept it.
Yeah.
So that's my rant.
Easy business advice from JobLogs. All right. I have a rave. So I've been really busy, as you all know, with school and work. And so mental health has become really important to me, especially with winter coming. These New York winters are not to be underestimated or played with. So, yeah, just, you know, putting energy into making sure my mind is right. And what's really helped me over the past month is the Calm app.
Calm?
It's just called Calm. It's in the Apple iTunes store. I don't know about Android. I'm sorry. I don't live that life. But the Calm app is just a meditation app. And it's really great because it has like guided meditations. You can choose whatever time interval you like. It has like two sets that are free, and you can subscribe if you want more. I do not have coins for that. So I use the free option, which is just a timer.
Okay.
And you can pick like really melodic background music. So like Lilies in the Field, underwater.
Tell me about these meditations. Rain. What are meditations?
Well, and that's another thing. A lot of people like have all these misconceptions about what meditation is. And really, I mean, every religion has some form of it. And it's just about like quieting your mind. Because like you have all these thoughts. But like the thoughts aren't you. It's really kind of your brain just going like haywire.
Yeah.
So meditation is a time to just kind of quiet down, like, and just get back to, some people call it center, but it's just kind of like a calm, a peaceful state. So
I
you can like, you know, just think quicker and be more clear about what you're doing.
Yeah.
So meditations is great. It just alerted me that I have been doing it 33 days straight. I am very excited. I just do 10 minutes like every morning and kind of start my day like ready.
Yeah. Pico Iyer, I saw on a flight one time. He's written a book called The Art of Stillness, I think it is.
Yeah.
And he's also given a TED Talk. And he talks about that, just quieting, you know, your mind and yourself and resting and taking a break from things so you can actually reflect on them.
Yeah. Because, I mean, a lot of times, a lot of your issues are like self-created. Like, so you just need time to like separate, like, okay, this is me acting a fool.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of the garbage. So Calm app, get your zen on.
Today, we are so excited to have Devin Williams on the episode with us. Devin is a dynamic woman and a dear friend who balances work, entrepreneurship, and life with poise and grace. Devin is a former Wizard Girl, which is the official dance team of the NBA's Washington Wizards. Whoop, whoop. Software engineer, entrepreneur, and most recently a certified life coach. Right, Devin?
Yes.
Congratulations. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Devin.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I'd be curious, how did you find yourself here? How did you get into all of these different activities?
Well, let's see. Well, my story is kind of an interesting one career-wise. I started off wanting to be a broadcast journalist, and that is initially why I decided I wanted to go to Syracuse. And if you know anything about Syracuse, you know that their School of Communications is one of the best in the country. So
yeah,
that was my goal. And so the long story short is that I didn't get in. I didn't get into Newhouse. But I did get into the iSchool. So I decided that I was going to go and give it a shot and see, you know, kind of where it took me and if I really did want to be in broadcast or if IT was something that I could grow with. Hmm. And so when I got there, this was, you know, around what, 2000, well, I graduated in 2009. So this is around 2005. The economy wasn't doing so great.
Right.
So jobs in communications were few and far between. And there were a lot of people who were graduating and just, you know, they weren't making any money. They didn't have any, you know, they couldn't find a job. So I decided I was going to stay with IT because I could do it. I was pretty good at it. And I knew that I would have a job. So there's job security in that.
Yeah.
And so that's really where that path came from. And so I say that to say, and that's something I speak about when I speak to youth as well, or just when I speak in general, is that sometimes your path takes you in different directions, but it leads you exactly where it wants you to go.
Yes, absolutely. So, absolutely.
Cool. So that's my career anyway.
Nice. And how did the life coaching come about? Like, because software engineer and life, right. they don't seem connected, but I'm sure.
Yeah, they're like polar opposites.
Right? Yeah.
I think the life coaching just really speaks to my personality more than anything. I'm really that person that people come to when they want to talk or they need someone to listen to them. And so I, you know, I've always wanted to build my personal brand. Originally, I thought that was going to be through broadcast or something in the media. And what I've come to find is that my brand is more based in helping people and just being a listener and someone who can provide a platform for helping people figure out what their next steps are. And so when I started to do some research, I came across life coaching. And so I just kind of dove into it a little bit more. And I just said, hey, why not? You know, why not take this leap? Why not use the things that are naturally in me, my natural abilities and my natural talents to help people and use that to build my personal brand.
And I can attest to that being sort of a natural passion of yours. Because, I mean, for years now, I've been liking your Facebook statuses, you know, sharing a good word with the people, motivating us. I really enjoy it.
It's a battle, too, because I don't want to be the person who says things that you already know, you know, so it really, really my posts on Facebook are very conflicting for me at times because I don't want to be the person, I don't want to be the social media cliche, you know, like I really don't. But you know, there's definitely a certain part of it where you have to give some of yourself. And I battle with that because I'm a very honest person, you know, and sometimes it's not as polished as social media would like it to be, you know? And so I really have to challenge myself to kind of bring it all together and to bring it back in so that it's not so broad, but that everyone can still relate to it and that there's something that people can really get from it as opposed to it just being another post.
Yeah, I will say, though, like just looking at your social media feeds and kind of having been exposed to the motivational messages that you've shared for years now, I think a big part of why people listen to you is because you have a brand that people admire. I know I do personally, right? You've been polished.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're poised. You're welcome, but it's true. And I think there's something to be said about that. How have you intentionally refined and honed your personal brand, both from your image to how you carry yourself, even as a dancer, to make sure that it supports what you're doing and sharing as, you know, a motivational and now a life coach?
You know, it's hard. It's very hard today when what's popular is not what's poised. And what's popular is not what's refined, especially as women. What I know is that even in dance, when I was on the Wizards, we weren't allowed to be on social media the same way that other people were. We weren't allowed to post pictures of us, you know, partying or drinking or doing any of those things because we were responsible for the brand. You know, we belonged to the brand. And it was instilled in us very early, even at Syracuse, where I went to undergraduate school, when I was on the dance team there as well, it was the same thing. You know, it's not just about you, it's about what you're representing.
Right.
So I guess maybe I've always been very conscious about the fact that I've always been associated with the brand. The difference now is just that it's mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and so I've been able to take that and just and flip it and use it to my own benefit. But beyond that, I'm really an advocate for women, of course, but I'm really an advocate for the all-around woman and yes. not being afraid to be that woman.
Yeah.
And I think that we sometimes put ourselves in boxes, or sometimes we limit, you know, how we want to even view ourselves, because we don't want to take on this platform that's so big and that's so amazing and that's so easily intimidating to other people, and we like to kind of dim our light. And
yeah.
I really battle with that even myself sometimes, and I have to remember that that's really what I'm all about.
Yeah.
You know, so I push myself too. But what I always want to do is be someone that is, one, relatable, which is why sometimes I don't post pictures where I'm so well done up and I look so great and I have on makeup.
Yep.
And,
that's
you know, like, I don't want to do
yeah.
that, because I'm a real girl.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a real girl. I have real problems.
Yeah.
I have, you know, I have real hair. I have real
yeah.
things that I deal with
yeah.
on a daily basis. And I want people to see that, because I need them to know that although there are real elements to me, you know, I can polish those things up as best I can and put together the best package that I can.
Yeah.
And that they can do it too.
Since we're in this like space of like how you present yourself as a woman, one of the interesting things when Joy was telling me about your background is I thought it would be interesting just because like whether it's in STEM or dancing, those are two fields where people can play your womanhood against you, but in kind of mm-hmm. different ways. And
yes.
I wanted to kind of get your feedback on like how, whether it's a stereotype of, I know people look at dancers like, oh, that's not like a sport. It's just like a pretty girls, even though like that is like highly physical. Profession or STEM, where they just don't expect women to be in the room. Like when you're in those different spaces, how do you kind of combat what people presume about you and really put forth who you are, what your brand is?
That's a great question. And you know what? I get this question a lot, especially in regards to, well, really in regards to both fields. When it comes to STEM, women are just largely underrepresented in STEM in general, especially in math and engineering. So in general, I just want to make sure that when I speak to people, when I talk to people, that I'm putting my best representative forward. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that people do dismiss you. And in the workplace, I used to not share with people, I still don't, that I was a dancer, you know, a professional dancer, because there are stigmas or stereotypes that come with that, or people assume that you're less competent, or that you're here for some reason other than your ability.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really don't go out of my way to share those things all the time. But what I've come across just as a woman in general and a woman of color in general is that people will treat you as though you're not even in the room. Mm-hmm. So you have to be bold enough to really take the chance and to take the steps to make yourself visible in a room.
Yeah.
And you have to do it in a way that is respectable, but that also makes people raise one eyebrow. And the only way that you can do that is if you're always prepared.
Mm.
And that's what I've learned, is that I'm not the smartest person. I'm no genius, but I work very hard. And so when it's my time to show up and it's my time to be present, I'm always ready.
Hmm.
And that's something that I've had to really, you know, hold close to myself and push myself with, that you don't have the opportunity to come in and not be prepared.
What does that look like, Devin? What does preparation look like in the workplace?
Let me tell you, preparation. Okay. I'll give you an example, something that happened recently. So essentially, I just would like to recommend to anyone in any field that you go above and beyond to keep your own records. Because what people will try to do is not only take credit for things that you've done, but also throw you under the bus. You know, if there's something, if there's a negative light on them,
yeah.
they're going to try to pull you into it. Like, oh, well, you know, she didn't do this, or, you know, well, that part of it didn't get done because of her.
Mm.
Oh,
talk
no,
about
no,
it.
No, no, no. Absolutely not. So, you know, in that situation, I was able to go back into my own records that I keep meticulously and say, oh, no, on this date, this is the work that I did. Mm. And on these dates, I was not here, or this work was assigned to someone else.
Right.
And I was able to prove that. And really not even in a manner where I needed to, because, you know, the person in authority at the time already knew that it wasn't true.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, yeah, I know you, I know your work, I know what you do. I already know that doesn't make sense. But just because I needed people to understand that there will never be a time where you think that you can.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Come against me,
right,
with nonsense, and right, that I won't be prepared.
Right.
And that was a message I needed to send across the board. And it was sent very well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's great advice. And it speaks to your reputation, too, and the brand that you'd built mm-hmm. over time with that manager who, you know, could speak up and say, no, I know this is unlike Devin.
Right, right. And to talk about, to go back to that in relation to dance, that was a big transition for me to start dancing for the NBA. Even though, you know, I danced for Syracuse and it was awesome, dancing for the NBA is like nothing else. But what I was very pleasantly surprised to find on my rookie year with the Wizards is that there were so many women with like these dynamic careers. I mean, like working in procurement for, you know, ExxonMobil or accountants or, you know, lawyers or, you know, working GS 13s and 14s in the government. Like, I was really impressed just with the careers of the women that were around me. So I felt like I had something to aspire to, not only in dance, but also just in my life, you know, that these women were able to be beautiful, be smart, and still have these awesome careers. And so that was just such an eye opener for me and something that we really prided ourselves on as a team. But, you know, what you always find is, of course, people are going to assume that, you know, you don't have the ability to do anything other than be pretty. Mm-hmm. and that's okay, because the reality is that there are times when being pretty and being poised and being put together will open certain doors for you. Now, it won't close a deal for you, but you may be able to get in the door.
Let's talk about that, because that's, you mm-hmm. know, that's kind of been a growing priority of mine. I dabbled with the idea of a stylist at one point, mm-hmm. and I hate shopping. I hate like getting my hair done and stuff like that. But I do recognize the importance of your physical personal brand in the workplace in terms of opening those opportunities and just even putting you on a level playing field for certain sorts of leadership opportunities. So how important do you think, you know, looks and appearance and the way you more importantly carry yourself are when it comes to work?
Well, when I'm at work, it's a very interesting question, because when I interview or when I go to meetings, things of that nature, I'm very subdued in my appearance. Like, I never want my appearance to precede my ability.
Mm.
And it's very easy to do, you know, when you're used to being, you know, in a made up glamorous, you know, lifestyle with being a professional dancer.
Yep.
So when I do those things, you know, especially interviews and stuff, I, you know, makeup is very low, clothes are, you know, my skirts are long, my shirts are up to the neck, you know, like I don't want that to be what's, you know, selling me to this situation. However, when it's time for me to represent my brand and to represent myself, once I've already passed that point, I always make sure that I look my best, I present my best, and that I am the best, you know, because I know that, see, people, once they know that you are the dancer, that you're the cheerleader, that's who they want to see.
Yeah, Yeah, that's true. But you know, you actually were captain of the team, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, I was.
Two seasons, mm-hmm. Congratulations, that was awesome. And they retired your
Thank
number.
You.
You were the only person to get a retired number. So tell us about the
cool.
That's awesome. I was so proud of you at that time.
Thank you.
Tell us about that experience of leading this group of dynamic women. And
my goodness. Well, let me tell you, you know, there was some politics in that, you mm-hmm. know, there were some, a lot of challenges in that for me, you know, to be honest, because I went from being a rookie to being a captain in 1 year.
Mm.
And it usually pretty much never goes that way.
Mm.
And
why'd it go that way?
At the time, the NBA was going through a lockout. And they were doing an overhaul. They were, you know, turning over some of the employees, and our coaching staff happened to be a part of that. So not only were we in a lockout, we were coachless.
Mm.
Because we didn't even know if there was going to be an NBA season at the time.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right. So we were, you know, practicing kind of aimlessly with, you know, the captains that we had the year before. And in the transition of that, I just kind of, on my own, took on some leadership roles so that once the season started, I could be of help in the process of, you know, managing the team. Not even at a point where I thought I was going to be captain, but maybe I would go for like a co-captain position or, you know, something of that nature.
Yeah. What roles did you take up? Because I think this is so interesting and applies directly to the workplace as well, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure like leading those women, like managing some guys in IT is no sweat.
Yeah. And you know, and it just speaks to there being a need
mm-hmm.
and you being able to see it coming.
Mm.
You know, and that really is where I operate. I operate in that space as much as I can. Like, what is coming? Because if you can stay ahead of it, and if you start working it, you start working that soil before it even gets put down.
Yeah.
Then you will always have, you'll always have a space in it.
And so that led you, you have two entrepreneurial ventures, right?
Yes.
So that led you to Fanciful and then also to life coaching.
Yes. Yeah, so I started a company with a good friend of mine that went to Syracuse with me. Actually, she just finished law school and took the bar. So we are very excited about that.
Congrats, friend.
Yes. But so our company provides dancers for brands and for events. Mm. So almost like how the Wizard Girls are, or how professional dancers are for the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, they are marketing teams. More so than anything. And so this company will put together, we will build a dance team for your brand, or we work with semi-professional teams to build them dance teams. Or if you have a private event that you would like entertainment for and you kind of would like it themed and things of that nature, we can put on a show for that as well. So it just kind of uses dancers to enhance brands as marketing teams and then also just as entertainment.
I love it. I love how everything has tied together and come together for you.
Yeah, you know, it's great. And let me tell you what's even better is when you have a lawyer on on your team, it just saves you in having to outsource paperwork and understanding and things of that nature. Like, I've learned so much just from working with her, you know, on the back end contract-wise and, you know, just kind of how things work from a legal perspective.
Yep.
I've just gained so much knowledge on that it's, you know, it's just priceless. So literally I'm always learning, you know, I'm always taking what I can in order to apply it to my brand and to my businesses and being able to not be the dependent person, you know,
love
like
it.
My skill set is so broad at this point. It's
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Devin, we've enjoyed talking to you so much and, you know, kind of unexpected lessons about how you present yourself and overcoming different challenges. So if you could impart some knowledge to the JobLog family, is just like when you're working with your clients, what's a common challenge or issue that comes up and how do you kind of empower them to take that on?
I think the misconception for coaching is that your coach has the answers.
Hmm.
And they don't.
Hmm.
and you know, and And especially when it comes to life coaching, when it comes to business coaching, yes, they should have the answers because they're trying to, you know, mentor you on how to grow your business in certain ways or whatever the focus is for that coach. But for life coaching, the coach doesn't have the answers. The answers are in the client.
That's kind of like what they say about like when you go to therapy, like a psychologist.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. And so really what the coach's purpose is just to ask the right questions to lead you to your own answers and then finding a strategy around how to do something about that. When you're talking about the balance of your life, sometimes we apply those rules to everything else, you know, like, oh, if I have an assignment that needs to get done for work or for school, I set reminders about it. I put a structure about it to make sure that I get it done. But when it comes to the things that we need in our lives, emotionally, physically, you know, educationally, whatever it may be, for some reason, we don't apply the same rules. Yeah. We just kind of have a free-for-all.
Yeah, that's so true. That's
you know?
So true.
And so really, you know, coaching, well, my coaching anyway, is about structuring even the life process and making sure that we apply the same rules and the same level of urgency and of priority to getting those things accomplished as well.
I love it. Devin, let us know where our listeners can connect with you, find you to get more of this amazing insight and advice.
Yes. Well, I have a website, www.devonmwilliams.com.
Well, okay, Devin, great. This was a really inspiring conversation. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hold myself accountable.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank
get
you.
That progress in.
Yes. Thanks, Devin.
It's that special time again.
Courtney's
hired and fired. But this time, Joy's taking the reins.
I am.
And she's laying down the law.
I am. So today I'm drafting up paperwork and termination papers for Dodge, the American car company, the whole company.
That's a big company.
I'm going to tell you why. So the other day I was sitting around watching TV and a spot or advertisement came on the television. And I was passively watching, so I hadn't really paid attention or heard what they were saying. But my roommate pauses me and is like, did you see that? That really makes me feel a type of way when it comes on. I was like, what? Rewind it. So we rewind and she plays it for me. Before I tell you what the commercial was, let me just set up, you know, the story here. Set the scene. So last year, you know, I actually could be wrong on this, but a couple months back, Dodge put together a campaign that highlights their co-founders. It's directed by Adrian Brody, who's an award-winning director. Mm. He's done like The Pianist, Grand Budapest Hotel. And the series of ads spotlights John and Horace Dodge, who, again, were the co-founders. And it's set in, like, early 1900s. Mm-hmm. So it showcases their very rebellious spirit. Apparently, these were guys who, like, defied the status quo and did their own thing. And Dodge is now embodying that spirit in their new line of vehicles.
Okay.
Awesome. Nice concept. Great. So, cue current commercial in question. The commercial comes on, and it's set at a country club. Nice jazzy ambient music playing.
Okay,
you know, when the scene opens up, there is a waiter with a platter with some glasses of water getting ready to serve, you know, the people that are in the country club, the patrons. They're all dressed in hats and suits, and it's all very elegant and eloquent. And then slowly, in the far distant, you know, you hear a little bit of Ray Schremer. How do you say their name? It's a rap duo. Ray Schremer. Y'all know what I'm talking about. No Flex Zone is the name of the song. It is a rap song by Ray Schremer.
I can't say their name, but I love them.
Can't say their name either, but you'll know the song, No Flex Zone. And you hear it, No Flex Zone. Slowly, you know, the volume's increasing. And then out front, in front of the country club, John and Horace, the co-founders, right, in their 1914s garb, pull up in a Dodge Durango and get out. And the narrator of the commercial says, well, there goes the country club.
Well, there goes the country club, the 2015 Dodge Durango, now with available Beats audio.
And so when I saw it, I instantly felt a type of way, and I wasn't sure why exactly. But mm-hmm. the more I thought about it, the more I realized, like, well, there goes the country club. It's sort of reminiscent of, like, well, there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah.
When many, like, African-Americans move in, dealing with gentrification. Or, like, you know, and was it there goes the country club because rap music was playing? You know, even though it was John and Horace, it just was really confusing for me. And mm-hmm. I felt a ways. And it goes off the air. And it's just, like, you're left sitting there with a feeling of, huh, like, what are they implying there? You know, and maybe it was just that the volume was really loud on the music and, you know, John and Horace have this rebellious spirit. Whatever the case was, my point in bringing this back to business is that when you are creating for consumers, make sure you have a diverse set of people in the room with you testing your concepts. Because what happens a lot, especially in advertising, is there just isn't sensitivity to how different audiences might receive something. Mm-hmm. And so my word of caution to everyone out there is make sure your consumers aren't left feeling icky or feeling like, huh, I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
Make sure you have diverse voices creating, contributing, and working on that end product that's going to go to market. And that's it. So you're fired.
Bye.
All right, so it's time for another round of Ask Job Logs. This is the segment of the show where we respond to your questions. So if you have questions about work, life, need some advice, shoot us an email at ask@joblogs.com or joblogs.com/askjoblogs. So today we have a question from Twitter from Keshna Thermidas, and she asks, what are some unconventional questions to ask in an interview or unconventional thinking to interview someone? So not clear here if the question is around being interviewed or specifically interviewing someone, but I'll share a couple of mine for both scenarios.
Okay.
So, I think one really good one that I always like to ask is what's the leadership philosophy at this company? Mm-hmm. And so that's obviously for when you're being interviewed towards the end after you've sort of shared about yourself and, you know, the interviewee asks, the interviewer asks, do you have any questions? You jump in with a bunch of really well thought out questions. And I will say one thing here. Don't say no. Never let the answer to do you have more questions be no. You should have questions prepared to fill up that space and that time. Because in my experience, that's been the time where, like, the most thoughtful conversation has happened.
Yeah. And it shows that you did the work.
Exactly.
Like, you looked into it to have questions.
Right. So I like what's the leadership philosophy here? I don't know if this is unconventional, but not a lot of people ask it in my experience. What are the day-to-day responsibilities?
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what you're signing up for and what that typical day looks like.
Yeah. What's the culture?
Like, culture's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one that my sorority sister taught me to close with is, based on our conversation today, would you hire me for the role or would you consider me for the role? And it's kind of like, it's sort of intimidating to ask that at the end of a conversation. It always throws people off a little bit. But when you're going for certain roles, especially sales and things like that, close the conversation. Like, close it by being confident enough to ask, based on our conversation today, based on what you've heard and my passion for the company, would you consider me for this role? And you'll get a good sense of if it's like, oh, well, you know, or, you know, if it's absolutely, you know, just interviewing a couple more candidates, that's a great sign.
Yeah.
So that's that. I know there was a second part to the question about unconventional thinking to interview someone. Again, not completely clear, but I would say when you're interviewing other people, make it less about tricking them.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to catch people off guard with a trick. What you really want to try to pull out of candidates is understanding how they process a question and how they think through the response. So if they prepared, you know, they should have a very methodical way of responding to things. So it's not even about getting the answer to something right. It's about, did they demonstrate, like, that they're strategic, that they thought through a couple different scenarios?
Yeah.
You know, do they have the business mentality and thinking that you're looking for that position? So that's what I'd say to that.
Yeah, I've never gotten the approach of, like, intimidating someone, like, at the interview or, like, kind of having it be, like, a scary situation.
Yeah.
Like, I think you want everyone to be comfortable. You want to, like, see this person's personality And I think that'll give you a better sense of if they're a fit or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd also encourage you to just ask questions if you're interviewing other people about specific project examples. So, you know, tell me about a time when you did X or a time when you demonstrated Y or, you know, time you were organized. And that way, again, you'll get to how prepared and methodical they are in responding.
Agreed.
Good luck, Keshna.
Well, it's time to clock out. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of Job Logs.
Thank you.
So you can find us and get in touch with us at joblogs.com or around the web at joblogs, the handle.
Yep. And Courtney is on the social medias as Cleave Out Loud on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You are quite welcome.
And Joy Marie is on the social media at Hey Miss Parker, two R's. And don't forget to rate us on iTunes, preferably with 5 stars, please. And leave us a review. Reviews help us get more recognition for the show and keep expanding this platform to discuss work, professional development, careers, all that good stuff.
Yep. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next time.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.